Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the nature of God was recorded at our 2009 Raleigh-Durham Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
I just read another Barna survey recently, and he was asking people how they come up with their worldview and their standard of morality. And did you know that the vast majority of people, even the vast majority of Christians, said that they just base it on how they feel, based on their own intuitive knowledge, based on how society is and things like this. In other words, they aren't using the Word of God as a standard in their life. They are just inventing these things on their own. And that's wrong. And so there's a lot of people today that just don't have a proper standard of right and wrong. But according to the Scripture, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when we say it isn't fair, you don't want fair. You don't want what you deserve. God has never had anybody qualified working for Him yet. Let me put it this way. None of us deserve the blessing of God. And I know that some of you are immediately saying, now wait a minute, you don't know about me. That's because you are comparing yourself with somebody else. And compared to somebody else, you look good. But if you were to put yourself up next to Jesus, which the Bible says all of sin comes short of the glory of God, that's Jesus. Jesus is the standard. If you were to look at what God made all of us to be, what He created man to be, you know, we have lived so long in a fallen world, and we are among people who are so fallen and have so many flaws that we just look around and we think that this is normal. God created Adam and Eve perfect. He created them perfect. He created them holy and pure, and most of us, that is so far removed from our reference point that we don't even realize how far we've fallen. I believe in evolution. I really do. I just don't believe we evolved from slime into this complex person. I believe we evolved from perfect down to this fallen being that has these terrible things on the inside of us. I believe that we, you know, the second law of thermodynamics says that things go from a state of order to a state of disorder. You could take a flower arrangement and put it here, and if nobody touched it in 100 years, that thing would fall apart. It would get disorderly. You couldn't take a whole group of flowers and lay them here, and in 100 years they would become orderly and get into a flower arrangement. Everything in our world goes from a state of order to a state of disorder, and yet evolution preaches that you go from a state of disorder to a state of ultimate complex and order. It's completely opposite any observable thing that you can find. But when it comes to human nature, we went from perfection, from holy, from pure, from innocent, to depraved. And I know that that's offensive to some people because, again, today people have evolved and they just see themselves as better than that. Compared to the standard, the glory of God, every one of us is far, far, far removed from what God intended us to be. And if you don't have that opinion, then your opinion is wrong. And some of you think, well, in Christ, in Christ, we are awesome. I'm talking about in our natural self. In Christ, we are a totally brand new person, but you still have a physical body, and your physical body is not getting better, in case you've noticed or not noticed. It goes from a state of order to a state of disorder. You get that Dunlop disease where your belly's Dunlopped over your belt buckle, amen. Chest or drawers disease where your chest is done dropped down into your drawers, amen. I mean, you just, in case you haven't noticed, we are in the process of decay. And in your physical body and in your soulish mind, you can affect them to some degree, but you aren't perfect, is the point I'm trying to make. And so this verse in Psalms chapter 85, verse 10, where it says, mercy and truth have met each other. How can something like that happen? Because They're opposite. The truth would keep mercy from coming towards us. If we got what we deserve, there's not a single person on the face of the earth who would be born again. And again, you know, I am glad that God called me to preach the grace of God, because I've lived a better life than most people. And those people who think that I'm just preaching this grace because that allows us to go live in sin, they can't use that against me. I've lived a holier life than most of you have ever thought about. I just turned 60 last month, or I guess now it's been a little over a month ago. And you know what? I've never said a word of profanity in my 60 years. I've never taken a drink of liquor. I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never tasted coffee. Some of you are thinking, coffee? You got scripture to stand on for drinking coffee. Mark chapter 16, verse 18 says you can drink any deadly thing and it shall not harm you. I'm just saying, I've lived a separated life. I've lived a holy life. But who wants to be the best sinner that ever went to hell? I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not perfect. And see, there's some people who take offense when you start talking like this, and they think, well, you don't know how good I am. We've all sinned, and you need to come to this. Did you know that the founding fathers, I just made some programs with David Barton on our television, and they're going to be airing at the end of this month. If you don't watch our program, you ought to at least watch those. It's powerful. And anyway, he made this point so clear that the founding fathers of this nation believed that man left to himself was ungodly, fallen, and depraved. And that they needed checks and balances. And that's the reason they went away from a monarchy or a dictator. They didn't want to give one person with a fallen human nature that kind of power. So they invested it in the greatest number of people. And even in the government, they had three branches that were a check and balance on each other. And in their writings, it was all based on scripture that man could not be trusted on his own. And so you need these checks and balances. And this was understood among them. We've got people today that think, oh, everybody's fine and that everybody's all right. You need to recognize that there is a part of you that is depraved, that is fallen, that is going to be, when somebody says something wrong to you, you're going to want to punch their lights out, which is the ungodly response. You are going to want to be selfish and put yourself ahead of other people. You are going to only think about yourself instead of thinking about others. You need to recognize that there's a part of you that's like that, and that it doesn't deserve the goodness of God. And if you don't think that, if you think that you really are merit the favor of God, if you think that God is so privileged to have you on His team, that man, God got somebody awesome when He got you, then that's one of your big problems right there. Is you are trusting in yourself and you are enamored with yourself. If you are all wrapped up in yourself, you're going to make a very small package. You need to recognize that there is somebody more important than you. And I tell you, these things need to be said because we live in a society again that has gotten away from these godly principles, and they have changed the rules, and there's people out there having parades and bragging about their sexual perversion. I'm not against them. I don't hate a person who's a homosexual, but I guarantee I don't share their view. It's not right, and you shouldn't be promoting it and bragging about it and holding parades. Something's wrong with you. But we've got people today that have changed all the rules, and so they're bragging and promoting things as if there's nothing wrong. I mean, really, there's a segment of society today that really there's nothing wrong. Nothing is wrong. Once homosexuality quits being wrong, well, then what's to keep you from going into bestiality? What's to keep you from going into other things? I mean, where is there a right and a wrong? And there's a segment of society that nothing is right and wrong, and that they deserve everything. You need to come to the end of yourself. You need to come to recognize that you do not deserve the goodness of God. And because of that truth, then there should be no mercy for you. Mercy and truth are mutually exclusive. Except for Jesus. In Jesus, mercy and truth have meant together. Now, God can be merciful to you and be totally just in doing it. Now, at first, that doesn't sound right. It sounds like that God just chose to overlook your sin. That God just chose to turn the other way. That God, since He's God, can just decide to change the rules. No, God is just. God is holy. God cannot lie. When God told Adam and Eve, "You eat of this tree and you're going to die," in Genesis chapter 2, did you know He bound Himself by His word? And because God is faithful and just and He cannot lie, that put us in a bad shape. Because when we ate of the tree, then God, to be just and to be holy, had to allow death to come upon us. Here's a scripture in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, and it talks about Jesus and says that He is the brightness of His image, of His glory, and the express image of His person. And He upholds all things by the word of His power. That is saying that God holds this entire world, all things, together by the word of His power, or some of the translations put it, the integrity of His word. If God was to ever violate one of His promises, then the world would self-destruct. It's the integrity of God's word that created everything. He spoke the worlds into existence. He said, "Let there be light," and instantly there was light. 4 days before there was a sun for the light to come from. God said, "Let us make man." God said and created everything. Words spoke everything physical that you and I can see into existence. And according to Hebrews 1:3, the word upholds everything. If God was to ever lie, which it says in Hebrews chapter 6, it's impossible for God to lie. But if God ever broke His promise, if God ever failed to keep one of His promises, the world would self-destruct. Because everything is held together by that word. So when God said, "You eat of this, you die. The soul that sins, it shall die." That created a problem.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the nature of God. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Raleigh-Durham Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM236 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the first teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
Our television and radio programs, our tapes, our books, our study guides, everything is designed to help share the Word with you. But you know, the very best way that I can get these truths into you in an in-depth way is through our Charis Bible Colleges. We have a campus right here in Colorado Springs with about 250 or so people. And then we have over 1,000 people that are in extension schools taking correspondence and things. There's many ways that you could take advantage of this, but I tell you, I just want you to be able to get saturated and immersed in this. And the best way I know to do that is through our Charis Bible College. So please call or write today.